Best of both worlds. What a theme for Keith Adams coming back. Welcome back, everybody. Along with Adrian Broaddus, I'm Steve Kaplowitz. Adrian always has these theme songs set up where he'll lie and tell you he had no plans. It's all random and it just happened. Don't listen to him. He knows what he's doing. He's smarter than the average bear. And yes, he always seems to have the perfect messaging on our musical portion of the program. Always does. And he's done it again with his song, Best of Both Worlds. Think about it, okay? UTEP went ahead and brought back Keitha today in a move that really caught a lot of people by surprise. Let's be honest. We were thinking last week that, especially when we had a chance to talk to Kevin Baker, it was either going to be Todd Buchanan or someone else. And if UTEP was to go in another direction, they would have probably have a national search, take a couple weeks, interviews, decide where they want to go. When we first got word that there could be an announcement today, well, one of two things made sense. Either A, they went with Todd Buchanan and they just went internally, or they threw a curveball to everybody and they brought someone back that's a familiar face, a familiar name, and someone that's won here. And let's be honest, UTEP women's basketball started in the mid-70s. The only coach that has ever taken UTEP to the NCAA tournament, not once but twice, won a tournament game, NIT finals, NIT quarters, and all that, WNIT, was Keith Adams. She's the only one, okay? She has been able to win and win consistently over the years at UTEP. So the fun part is she was under contract for one more year at Wichita State. And yet they had a new director of athletics. I have no idea what went down to make this happen. I have not talked to either of the two, and I have no details on how this went down. But reading between the lines, when a new director of athletics come in, usually they want to bring in their own head coach. That's just part of the issue, especially if the current coach is not winning the way they want that coach to. Now, Keitha just took Wichita State to the WNIT, like Kevin Baker, had her best season since she arrived at Wichita State, and yet had 1 year left on her deal. And it's very possible that when Jim Senter reached out to Keith Adams to talk about the situation at hand, and maybe he floated an idea her way, next thing you know, the Wichita State Director of Athletics said, you know what? Timing is perfect. I would probably like to bring in my own head coach. If Keitha wants to go back to UTEP, we're not going to charge a buyout. We'll just go ahead and let her return to El Paso. We'll bring our person in. Win-win for everybody. Now, do I know that's how it worked out? Absolutely not. I have no clue. But it makes sense, especially if she had 1 year left on her deal. Now, maybe her deal didn't even have a buyout. I don't know how Wichita State works. I really don't. But if it did, maybe they waived it so that everybody could be happy here. As we said, best of both worlds. Wichita State's new director of athletics gets to hire their person that they want to bring in for women's basketball. And UTEP brings back someone that they know has won here before and can win here again. And that's Keitha Adams.
Very interesting storyline all around, especially for me timing-wise. I feel like the timeline of this is so fascinating to me of how quickly this all came together. This is according to the Wichita Eagle and Taylor Eldridge, who wrote the story on the Wichita perspective. Like we talked about right here, Steve, Keitha Adams was somebody right now in terms of the buyout. She had a base salary of next year of just a little more than $375,000. $100,000, okay? And according to her contract, writes Taylor, Adams owes Wichita State a total of $250,000 within 30 days of today, although it's obviously common for a university to cover those costs when they join the program. So I'm curious to see what comes out of that, but that's not the biggest story of this. It's just a small detail of the news today. What Keitha Adams brings, what people don't understand, because I saw a lot of people on social media saying, well, what did she do recently at Wichita State? What Keitha Adams will bring immediately to UTEP is continued relevance. She has so much energy about her. She has talked about this place so admirably over time. Mm-hmm. This city knows her very well. And in fact, I would say the majority of UTEP women's basketball supporters are fans because of Keitha Adams and what she was able to institute here with the UTEP basketball program while she was coach from 2001 to 2017. So just a staple here in El Paso. I get it. She was kind of subpar at Wichita State, but I feel like in the Conference USA, especially the new look of CUSA, she could have success here. She knows what it takes to win CUSA titles.
She does. And who knows, from a budget standpoint, you know, she might have more to work with here than people realize. And not only that, you're right. I mean, the American Athletic is a tougher league, especially, look, a few years ago, UConn was still in that league. How do you win there? Well, you know, you got to play Gino Auriemma twice a year.
That's right, and I guess I know that Wichita State was a program that went to the NCAA tournament routinely early in the 2010s. So, like, I think it was like 2011 and 2013, if not maybe 2 or 3 years during that time. But regardless, she was 80-93 when she was at Wichita State. She just won 18 games with the squad, like we talked about. And this was really their first season where they were competitive in American Athletic play. And I would just say, to your point, Steve, this conference is tough, top to bottom. People need to understand that this league is really challenging. I'm not saying she was up to that occasion, but look at the business side of things. She only has one more year on her deal. This was a smart business decision by her to use the leverage she had from this season and maybe come back to UTEP and build on something else.
And like I said, if her contract stated that she owed Wichita State $250K within 30 days of leaving, as Taylor Eldridge reported. And Taylor, for those of you wondering, is the Wichita State athletics beat writer for the Wichita Eagle. It's still very possible that, you know what, if the new AD wanted to bring their person in a year early and this situation worked out, knowing that, you know what, he was still on the hook for one more year, he could easily waive that and say, you know what, we'll waive it. Let's make it happy. Let's make a good move for everybody. Keitha gets to go back to UTEP. I bring in my new head coach. Everybody's happy. Just because her contract states that she owed $250,000 to Wichita State does not mean that she is going to be paying it or UTEP's going to be paying it. That money could easily be waived if the new administration wanted to make a move and found that this was their opportunity, so they made it happen.
You know, another point to this subject right here, Steve, maybe UTEP, which they didn't have to spend money on a national coaching search committee, maybe they can use some of those funds that they didn't have to use there to go off and pay some of this buyout money, if that's the case, if they actually have to do that right there. Or like you're talking about, maybe there's some kind of negotiation going on in the behind the scenes with this right there, the figure and the dollar amount. Yep. And hey, even if that dollar amount stays and UTEP has to pay it, I think it's worth it. I really do. I feel like UTEP was able to execute this very quickly. They need to re-recruit their current roster, knowing that they have a coach in Kevin Baker who resigned. They need to keep this nucleus intact, and if they do, they can be a Conference USA title contender next year.
We don't know yet about the details, but who cares? She's back. That's the most important thing. She's now back, and how interesting that, and this was something that Colin brought up earlier, Colin Deaver, that Keitha replaced Jody Adams Birch at Wichita State, who's now at New Mexico State, and now they will coach against each other in Conference USA next season.
Wow, I didn't think about this one right there. I didn't see this tweet either by Colin, but that's a really good point right there. And yeah, it makes the rivalry, which is now a conference game, that much more exciting. I love this. And I'm sure, you know, Keitha Adams has so much respect for her over there at New Mexico State. And this should be a great rivalry that could be established here.
I think so, too. So, you know, you look at her record at UTEP, won almost 300 games. And yes, the easy question will be, did Keitha Adams struggle to win at Wichita State? Absolutely she did. Tougher league. Just fact is, tougher league. Not everybody leaves and goes to greener pastures. And remember, she took that job to get closer to home. And I think that maybe after all these years, realized that home was not where you necessarily thought it was originally. You thought home was Kansas because that was much closer to the family. Maybe she realized after 6 years, you know what? Home really is El Paso, because she made it her home and had so many friends and family around here, and her mom would come and visit. So would all of her girlfriends. And, you know, I mean, that's very possible. So I don't know. I like the move. Like the move a lot. And I'm looking forward to seeing her tomorrow when she arrives in El Paso. So, yeah, that's good stuff. And by the way, you know, we could say, you know, Todd Buchanan gets a short end of the stick. And there's an argument for that. He stuck by Kevin Baker. Last 4 years, he was right there all the you know, every step of the way. Has head coaching experience. And was definitely somebody that Kevin Baker was pushing for the job. Well, you know what? Keitha Adams was pushing for Ava to get the job when she left for Wichita State. And Bob Stoll didn't hire her either. And that was the discussion 6 years ago, if you remember correctly. A loyal assistant who was there since day one, who was ready to take over and wasn't given the opportunity because Bob went a different direction. But Bob Stoll's last hire was Kevin Baker. That was his last hire. And chose Kevin Baker over Ava. And now, ironically, Ava will probably be coming back with Keitha to UTEP. So, crazy stuff, right? Crazy stuff.
Yeah, and how fast college basketball moves, that's another thing. It's so interesting to me, Steve. I feel like with Keitha Adams and you know, Todd Buchanan as a possibility, I think he really was somebody who I think UTEP looked at, thought, hey, could he be promoted? He's been a head coach before. And maybe they just ultimately thought Keitha, in that decision, if they had to pick between Keitha Adams, mm-hmm. who is currently coming off a head coaching season, or Todd Buchanan, who knows this roster, they made the decision of going with Keitha Adams here, and they did it quickly. They did not waste any time on this.
No, they didn't. All right, we're going to switch topics and talk baseball next segment. Kirk McKnight's going to join us. He's got a brand new book out on baseball announcers that we had booked long before this story ever broke today. So we'll talk to Kirk, but first let me get our good pal Mike Cuviello on the program before we go to break with Charlie One. Mike, what's happening?
How you doing, Steve? A little bit of a surprise today.
Yeah, a little curveball from Jim Center today, for sure, for sure.
I think it shows a commitment to making things happen fast. But to be truthful, I watched the team before Buchanan got here, and the impact that he's made on this team, I believe, is actually more measurable than the head coach. And I'm just not that excited about hiring a coach that for the last 7 years has been mediocre or worse, no matter what her history, which is somewhat overrated at UTEP as well.
I hear you. Then again, I'll go back and look at this too. I mean, you're right. There's been precedent though. Coaches have come back after not necessarily tearing it up in their job where they've left, and they've done very well where they're used to. And you know, let me say this, okay? She knows the city. She knows the school. She knows the fan base. She's not coming in, needing to take time. I mean, I'm not. And the question is this, okay? If Keitha Adams is able to play the portal right, because she's had opportunities the last few years at Wichita State, and she's also coming off that WNIT appearance just like Kevin Baker, and last year she knocked off the number one seed in the conference tournament. So, if she comes in here and ready to get moving, this is a lesser league than the American Athletic Conference. So she could come right in here and win right away, which is probably something that I'm sure Jim Center and everybody else around is thinking.
Well, I'm going to leave you with this. 22 years she's been a coach. 13 of those years she's had losing conference records. She's had 10 losing seasons within those 22 years. So if you take away the little bit of success she did have here, not too many people have been that excited. I really wish we'd take a long look at Erica Lambert, who's an assistant at Abilene Christian, who Joe Golden should be very familiar with. And if you get a chance, read up on her, because I mean, she has very good credentials. I really wish that we had did an actual search instead of just making this happen.
Let me ask you this, okay? Let me ask you this. 2010 was the last time the UTEP men went to the NCAA tournament, right? How many times since then has the women's team gone to the NCAA tournament?
Since then?
Since 2010.
Twice? Right, exactly.
How many games has the UTEP women's team won in the NCAA tournament?
More than the men's.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And she took them to an WNIT final and a WNIT quarter. So the fact is, she's had four deep postseason runs. And in the 6 years since, they've had no postseason runs. So look at it that way too. You got to look at everything. You got to look at the complete picture there. So, you know,
yeah,
and
I'm just looking over 22 years. That does not seem as impressive. I mean,
I got bad news for you.
Haskins had done that.
I got really depressing news, all right? Look at the last 31 years of the men's basketball program. And that's going to put you in a depression when you hang up the phone.
Oh, you know I'm depressed about that. I wrote about how overrated our basketball program is.
Well, I'm just telling you. You think it's been tough for women? Look at the men, all right? And the fact is, Keith has done more in those years with the women's program than anybody's done with the men. And it's not even close.
I will agree with that.
So appreciate the call. All right, thanks for getting it. Yeah, listen. You can try to argue with me all you want on Keitha. I am not going to bite. I've been doing this a long time. All right? And yep, it's not easy winning at UTEP. Ask every coach how tough it is to win. She won. She's won multiple times. And she's won an NCAA tournament game. And the last time the UTEP men won an NCAA tournament game, 1992. All right? 31 years. All right. 19 past, just getting going here on Sports Talk today. We'll do a little baseball next, then we'll come back to this topic. But first, let's go to Charlie One and get a traffic update. As we continue, all right, we'll get back to the Keitha Adams discussion in just a minute because I know that's going to be dominating our show today. Chihuahuas are back home tonight, starting a 6-game homestand with Fernando Tatis Jr. Super excited about that. But right now, I want to head over to Kirk McKnight. He is an author who's got a brand new book out, The Voices of Baseball, The Game's Greatest Broadcasters Reflect on America's Pastime. And he joins us here on Sports Talk. Kirk, welcome aboard. And today is book release day, so congratulations.
Thank you. And appreciate you having me on.
Hey, appreciate you being here. Now, this book originally came out a few years ago, but you've got a revised version of the book. So let's talk about that because I think it first came out right around this time in 2017, but you must have been doing something right if you were able to give it a fresh new look and have a new version released today.
There's just been so much that's happened in baseball since the book's first edition came out, and I've been able to kind of exercise the demons of woulda, coulda, shouldas from the first edition by getting a bunch of the broadcasters that I wish I had included in the first edition. And included in those are Bob Costas, Bob Uecker, Tom Hamilton, Steve Stone, Tim McCarver, and the list goes on and on. There's about 50% more broadcasters in this edition than there was in the original edition.
Oh, that's huge. So no wonder you wanted to give it that look. And I'm wondering, first off, give our listeners a little background about yourself and what made you decide to want to write about some of the greatest broadcasters that the sport of baseball has ever seen.
Well, actually, I work in publishing and writing right now. I'm an editor for a small-town newspaper, a weekly out of Wickenburg, Arizona. But I've always been a fan of baseball, and I've always wanted to write about baseball. So the angle I chose was talking about the ballparks themselves and the differences and all the peculiarities that they have. And instead of me trying to describe it, I figured the best way to do this would be to get the people with the longest careers going and the most experience. And that would have to be the broadcasters. They're there for 50, 60 years sometimes. And, I mean, what better perspective can you get than that? And, I mean, who better can you approach to talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Brooklyn Dodgers than Vin Scully? So, you know, having broadcasters like Scully, Enberg, Brenneman, some of these guys that have been around for four or five decades, You can't get a better perspective than that.
What was it like getting a chance to sit down and talk to each of them, whether you did it in person, via phone calls, Zoom, and talking to really a who's who of baseball broadcasting legends?
Well, considering that El Paso is an affiliate of San Diego, you know, talking with Dick Enberg in his TV booth in Petco Park was quite a surreal experience in and of itself. And just, my nephew snuck into the back of the broadcast room and with his cell phone took a candid picture of the two of us from the back. And I think that's a picture that I put on my Facebook page anytime I'm doing something or in the process of writing something, kind of a reminder that these things can happen. So whether it be over the phone or in a hotel lobby or in the broadcast booth itself, each experience was very special to me, and it was always something I'll always be grateful for.
I'll tell you what, we have a lot in common. Now, I didn't write a book like you, but when I started this show and I took over as the host of this show back in the summer of 1997, Kirk, one of the things I wanted to do was pretty much talk to all the legendary baseball play-by-play broadcasters that I could get a hold of. So guys like Jack Buck, Jerry Coleman, had a chance to talk to Kurt Gowdy, had a chance to talk to Ernie Harwell. And I mean, you know, it was so much fun because you're right. These are the legendary broadcasters. I had one interview with Vin Scully. I caught him in a hotel in Phoenix right when the movie For Love of the Game came out. And he told me that his one regret working that movie was he didn't get the girl, which was such a great, great line from Vin and something that was just so much fun. But I can appreciate what it's like talking to so many of these great baseball broadcasting legends and getting their stories in their own words about what it's like to be broadcasting the game from these ballparks.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us can share that regret of not having gotten Kelly Preston right there with Vin on that. But yeah, these guys definitely can tell the tale, and they know their stuff. They know when a pitcher is struggling, and they know the reasons why. And you can tell with the weather or whatever it can be, or the location itself, you can tell certain pitchers can thrive or die in certain situations. And they are the first to be able to explain to you why.
Kirk, specifically talking about some of the updates in this book, I found, you know, one part, I was just kind of going through it, I found the part about the Braves, especially the 2021 World Series title, so interesting because, I mean, some listeners to this might say, well, I remember that, but to hear it from the broadcasters and also to take into consideration what was going on with the world itself coming off a pandemic, I feel like that really needs to be chronicled, and that's why this book is so interesting to me.
I mean, I went to Truist Park that season in 2021. I was traveling the country with my family in an RV, and one of the stops we went to was Truist Park. And seeing that 44 basically, you know, carved into the grass in center field in honor of Hank Aaron, and basically Jim Powell of the Braves said that Hank Aaron's fingerprints were all over that championship when you think about it. The number 44 was just always there, and we're not just talking on the field in that grass. It was there. I think the 44th day since something happened was when they clinched, and 44 days into something, it was just crazy how the 44 just kept popping up. And the other side of you know, of everything is, you know, Rob Manfred having to give that trophy to the Atlanta Braves after basically depriving them of the All-Star game in the same year, and just having to hear it from the fans who were just relentless and just in their hatred and their absolute disgust with the fact that the All-Star game was ripped from their own team.
We're chatting right now with Kirk McKnight. Again, the book is called The Voices of Baseball, The Game's Greatest Broadcasters Reflect on America's Pastime. Now, today is the release date of the new hardcover edition, which is very important. However, when you go online, there are Kindle and paperback copies. So, Kirk, I want to make sure we let our listeners know that if they want the updated edition, is the hardcover copy the only new edition, or will that also be the Kindle as well?
I believe the Kindle will be new as well. I would preview that first, though, and see if you preview it and see if the opening comment by Bob Uecker, if that's in the Kindle, then you know you're reading the updated version. So definitely the hardcover, without doubt, will be the updated edition, and it will be updated on Kindle as well. So whether or not the release date on the Kindle is after the hardcover or it's already up and running, you can definitely be rest assured that you'll get that new edition with those two versions of the book.
We'll keep things moving as we continue with Kirk McKnight. Again, the book is The Voices of Baseball, the game's greatest broadcasters reflect on America's pastime. But first, back to Adrian in this SportsCenter update. Adrian, thank you very much. We're with, Kirk McKnight, the book, which is perfect with the start of baseball season here just a few weeks back. The Voices of Baseball, the game's greatest broadcasters reflect on America's pastime. You know, Kirk, on some of these teams, you have just one broadcaster. Like, for example, Eric Nadell, Chapter 10, talking about the Rangers. But you have also multiple broadcasters like the Cubs. Chip Carey, Pat Hughes, Len Casper, Bob Costas, and Steve Stone. So as you tell the story through multiple voices, how did you break it up to try to give everybody an opportunity to chime in on each chapter?
Well, one of the first questions I ask each broadcaster is, what's your most memorable moment, your most memorable game from the booth? A lot of times I was asking for the hometown booth, but you realize that, you know, when you have Pat Hughes calling Game 7 of the World Series and the Cubs winning for the first time in 108 years, you're going to have to basically put a little asterisk next to that one and have the visiting broadcaster experience, because I mean, he's the first guy to call a Cubs World Championship on the radio, because the last time they did it, there wasn't any radio. So what happens is, you know, you will have a couple times where they coincide, where, you know, the most memorable game might be Mark Burley's perfect game for the White Sox in that ballpark, for Steve Stone and for Ken Hawk Harrelson. But then again, you get Bob Costas thrown in the mix, and, you know, his favorite and his most memorable game happened almost 40 years ago in Wrigley Field. And, mm-hmm. I mean, anybody knows that Bob Costas is broadcast all over the place, literally all over the globe, and in whatever avenue he would work with NBC, whether it be the Olympics or Game of the Week or anything. So, you know, when they give that perspective, you're throwing that in that chapter. And, of course, Chicago has such a history. You got five broadcasters. I mean, the Cubs chapter is one of the most action-packed in the book, because you got you know, Chip Carey talking about Kerry Wood's 20-strikeout game. You have Bob Costas talking about the Ryne Sandberg game in 84. And you got Pat Hughes talking about Game 7 in 2016. I mean, there's nothing that you want to take out of any of those. You want to keep all that in there, and that's what I did, and that's what I was able to do. And luckily, it all worked out.
Meanwhile, there's a bunch of broadcasters that are in multiple chapters. Ken Hawk Harrelson has the Red Sox and the White Sox. You've also got, I saw Tim McCarver, the late Tim McCarver, who you had for both the Diamondbacks as well as the St. Louis Cardinals. It's fun when you see multiple broadcasters that find themselves in you know, more than one spot in this book. John Miller, Orioles, and also the San Francisco Giants. And that's kind of a cool part of this book as well.
Yeah, I agree. It was such a blessing to meet John Miller, because he's so gracious. And obviously, we first talked about the Giants chapter and Pac Bell Park, AT&T Park, now Oracle Park. But a little bit later on, I had a follow-up interview with him about something, talking about broadcasters in the past. And I mentioned that I hadn't spoken with a Baltimore Orioles broadcaster yet for that particular chapter. And he says, well, I broadcast there for X amount of years. I'd be happy to help. And the next day, I'm on the phone with him, and we're talking about Cal Ripken Jr. breaking Lou Gehrig's record. And John was there, and guess who was in the booth with John during that game? President Bill Clinton. So, I mean, you really get some serious, wonderful, fortuitous experiences when you talk to some of these guys who have been doing it for so long. And having John be the one to give the account of the Oriole Park at Camden Yards, which, when we look at the ballpark structures of today, we know that that was honestly the trailblazer for this modern shift that we've seen in ballpark construction. And a lot of ballparks have taken after Camden Yards, which, of course, took after the classics like Wrigley Field and Fenway Park, but, you know, in San Diego, Petco Park and Oracle Park in San Francisco and PNC Park in Pittsburgh, they definitely kind of walk that line that the Orioles and Camden Yards, basically the precedent that they set with Larry Lucchino, then of the Baltimore Orioles, now he's with the Red Sox in their AAA organization.
If there was one thing about this book that you think people will really enjoy the most, is it the fact that no matter what team they root for, there's something for everybody in this book?
You can pick up this book and open it up to any chapter, and it wouldn't be any different than opening up to another chapter. You would, you know, there are books out there where they talk about one team or one player, and they'll just, you know, and talk about them. And those are great books, don't get me wrong. But if you want to get an all-encompassing view on baseball and get to kind of share in the revelry and the wonderful experiences of all 30 teams and seeing their most climactic and their high points over these last 30, 40, 50 years, this is the book for you. You can be a Yankees fan and suck it up when you read the Cleveland Indians, Cleveland Guardians chapter and talking about the Bug Game and how much that meant to Cleveland fans and how awful it was for Yankee fans, but you can appreciate it. Looking up the Arizona Diamondbacks chapter, you're a Yankee fan, you remember back in 2001 when all that happened, but getting those two perspectives from Tim McCarver and Greg Schulte of the Diamondbacks, you can really appreciate what it would have been like here in the Phoenix Valley that night when the Diamondbacks won the championship against a team that was looking to four-peat. And, you know, a team that was basically starting their history in the same time the Yankees were starting their three consecutive championships working on four. And, you know, David defeated Goliath in that situation, so to speak.
The name of the book, The Voices of Baseball, The Game's Greatest Broadcasters Reflect on America's Pastime. All you got to do is search The Voices of Baseball, McKnight, and you'll get right into Kirk McKnight's page. If you go to hardcover, that is the newest edition. They have paperback and Kindle. Could be the older edition, so be on the lookout. If you want to make sure you got the brand new copy, just click hardcover and you'll be all set and good to go as it officially drops tomorrow. Kirk, really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for the time, and congratulations on the great project.
Thanks again, and thank you for having me, and I look forward to seeing how it goes.
No doubt. From the voices of baseball to our news voices, our partners at ABC7. It's next, and then Charlie One, and right back to more sports talk here on 600 TSPN El Paso. As we continue here on the show, UTEP Zay is in the house. Zay, give me your reaction when you heard the news around lunchtime today that Keith Adams would be returning to the bench at UTEP.
I was very shocked, but of course I was excited. I mean, she bought a UTEP women's basketball some of the best – oh, no, not some – the best years of the program's history, so very excited.
She's relevant is the most important thing. She made UTEP basketball relevant for the women's. I mean, here's the key, okay? So let's look at the 4 years she arrived as she was building the program in the WAC and what it looked like on the transformation to Conference USA. So she arrived in the 2001-02 season. 3-25 overall, 1-17 in the league. Then 10-19 overall, 5-13 in the league. 16-13, her first winning season at UTEP. Excuse me. 10-8 in the league. 12-17, 7-11 in the league. So if you add up the four seasons, 41-74, 23-49 in the conference. Okay, only one winning season in 4 years. Now, let's transition out to Conference USA. 14-15, 6-10 in Conference USA her first year. Then 22-8, 10-6 in the league. 28-4, 16-0 in the league. They went to the NCAA second round that year, by the way. Undefeated in conference play. 18-12 the following season. 11-5, second in the league. Then down year, 2009-2010. 16-16 overall, 500, 6-10 in the league. Things didn't get better the following year. 16-14 overall, still over 500, 7-9 in the league. Follow that up the following year, 29-4, 15-1 in Conference USA. Won the league. NCAA first round. Following year, 22-10, 8-8 in the league. Following year, 29-8, 12-4, WNIT runner-up that season. Then, a lot of graduates, 12-16, 7-11 in the league, 29-5, 16-2 in Conference USA, and her last year here, 8-23, 5-13 in Conference USA, because she lost a lot of players from that WNIT quarterfinal run. So when you add it all up, in CUSA, she was 243-135 overall. That's a 643 win percentage and 119-79 in league play. That's a 60% win percentage. And the truth is, when she had this thing going, she had, I think, three or four seasons out of about 11 that, you know what, she had to reload. Just the way it was. But you think about this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons with 20 or more wins. And not only that, two trips to the NCAA tournament, one win, which we're still waiting for the men, as we've said. Last time the UTEP men won a tournament game, it's 1992. I was in college my freshman year. Adrian wasn't born. Zay wasn't even a thought at that point. And then the WNIT runs. The runner-up year, and when they nearly knocked off Rutgers, such a great magical run, 2013-2014. And 2 years later, they went to the quarters. And I remember that quarters run because I called the games that year. That was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So, you know, you ask me, Keith Adams, she put the program on the map. She really did. Now, a lot's changed since 2017 when she left. The transfer portal, NIL, these were all things that were never even a thought in the equation back 6 years ago. Now, it's everything in college basketball. And the truth is, how she is able to navigate in the new college basketball with NIL and the transfer portal will go a long way into saying what kind of teams we should expect over the next few years here at UTEP.
You know, going back to the history side of things, Steve, I just want to say that when you make a top 10 list of the best women's basketball players to play at UTEP, a lot of those players on that top 10 list played for Keitha Adams. And yeah, you can argue, well, she was here for 16 seasons. Of course she's going to see some great talent, but she recruited that great talent. In fact, she recruited two players who ended up going off to play in the WNBA, and one is still playing right now, in Kayla Thornton.
Yep.
There's also Natasha Lacey, who also played professionally as well in the WNBA, had so many players earn Conference USA honors and who were outstanding players while she was here. I mean, I can reel off the names, but it goes without saying she's hung the banners, she's won the league, she's won in postseason, she's won here at UTEP, and that's all that matters here with this hire. I get it, the college landscape has definitely changed since she's gotten here, but there's an argument to be made that resources here at UTEP could be better than Wichita State when it comes to UTEP basketball.
She was also a throwback to Don Haskins. They were very close, very, very close. They talked often. They talked strategy, and they became great friends. And I always thought Keith was a throwback to those days. We talked about that a lot. And she would mention a lot that she had a lot of Don Haskins in her. Still does. So I think that was the other appeal, is a lot of people, as she grew the women's basketball program, felt like there was, you know, there was Don Haskins helping out with the women, which was very, very, very important back in those days.
Also, to be said that, you know, to the Don Haskins point and just to who she was in this community, she was a fixture. She helped bring, again, relevance to this UTEP women's basketball program, to where there are fans who just became fans of those programs while Keith Adams was here. That's why they became fans of the women's basketball program in itself. So this hire is a splash hire in a sense for people locally, to say, hey, I remember Keitha Adams. She brought me great memories here at UTEP. Let's see if she can rechannel those memories here with her second stint.
100%. 100%. As we wind up hour number one here on the show, our telephone number, 505-6009. As we continue here on the program, 505-6009. If you would like to get in and want to talk about the return of Keitha Adams to the UTEP women's basketball program. Let's go to Brian joining us next. Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. I think I really like Keitha Adams. I like the way she coaches basketball, and I really like the assistant coaches that she surrounds her with to get those recruits. But I've got a couple of questions for you. You've been very selective about win and loss. What is her total win and loss record, and how has she done since she left El Paso, win and loss wise?
80-93 at Wichita State. That's a 462 win percentage. And she struggled in conference. There's no doubt about it. 34-57 in the conference.
So since leaving El Paso, she has a losing record.
If she had a winning record, she wouldn't be coming here today. Let's put it that way.
It's not a criticism. I'm just trying to.
Yes.
You know, I would. What are the total wins and losses at UTEP and her career? What's her career look like?
364-302. So she's about a 55% win percentage for her career.
Okay. No, I think that she's good for the UTEP program. I just hope she can recruit and win better than she did at Wichita State.
Me too. Me too. But again, as I said earlier, okay, she struggled at Wichita State. But the truth is this. The American Athletic Conference is a tougher league than Conference USA. It just is. So, you know, she was...
So in other words, what you're telling me is that competitive schools recruited better and coached better. That's what you're saying.
Competitive schools recruited better and coached better. Explain.
Well, if she had a losing record at Wichita State, you're saying it's a tougher league. I get that.
Well, I mean, it's like saying that Tony Barbie struggled at Auburn. Doc Sadler struggled at Nebraska.
Barbie wasn't half the coach Keitha Adams is. Just saying.
Right. I guess that's true. But think about this for a second, okay? The only coach that we can come up with who left UTEP and succeeded was Billy Gillespie, and that was at Texas A&M. And after he left and went to Kentucky, he's never been the same. But he was the only one. Really, you can't think of anybody else who left as a head coach and did well in other places.
Right. You're right. No, you're right about that one. And I'm going to say it again. I think that Keitha Adams is a great coach, and she's a really good fit for UTEP. I think that she'll fill the seats more than people are going to welcome her back. And she was the first coach to really put people in the seats at UTEP.
She was. She was.
From a standpoint of marketing, she did a really good job in the people because the people around her, she inspired the people around her to put people in the seats. There were a lot of programs, there were a lot of promotions and things like that surrounded her program that I don't see in the last few years.
True enough.
So I think it's a great hire, and you're right about Haskins. He really loved the way she coached, and he helped her coach a little bit, but she had, according to him, you know, she had it in her all along. She just had a way with the game of basketball, and she coached the way that Haskins liked. And I think that's what drew the two together was the common basketball philosophy. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go to the games. Now, what kind of contract does she have?
The story broke at 1:30. The press conference is at 2 o'clock tomorrow, Brian. We don't know anything right now. No ideas on all that. We'll get all that stuff tomorrow. I promise you. We'll hit the air at 4 o'clock. We'll have everything you need. All right? Appreciate the call. Hour 2 coming up next. 2 here on Sports Talk. Want to say hi to Johnny Gonzalez, listening to the show, an old friend of mine. From the original days, the days in the mid-90s on Buzz, on the Q. He was a big part of that show. He mentioned that in 1992, the last time UTEP men won a basketball tournament game, he had just started working at the Q. So, yeah, how times change. I came 3 years later, and I appreciate Johnny tuning in today to us here on Sports Talk. Always good to hear from him. We got more phone calls coming in. So the big news today, Keitha Adams returning to UTEP. That was made official about 3.5 hours ago. And the truth is, part of the reason, there's a lot of reasons why maybe she's here, but a big reason could be new athletic director at Wichita State within the last year. Keitha had 1 year left on her contract. Had won this past year. This season she finished 18-15. Overall, went to the WNIT, But that was just her second winning season overall in 6 years out of Wichita State. And truth is, Adrian, if she was winning a lot of games, she probably wouldn't be coming here today. So the timing is right, and you hope that she'll be able to recapture that magic that she had for so many years at UTEP and can bring consistent winning back to this program.
Yeah, and let's all remember the fact that Keitha Adams left UTEP in the first place to be closer to home. I mean, it was kind of right in her backyard in Wichita, Kansas, of where she's kind of close to in her hometown. So she wanted to be close to family in that initial move. So I think that's really important to know. And that actually makes the fact that she's coming to El Paso a little bit more special, right? That she's ready to make that next journey and make that next step. And it's coming back to a place that, you know, is probably her second home, El Paso. So it's a city that she was able to really bring prominence to as far as women's basketball.
As far as Kevin Baker goes, in the 6 seasons he was at UTEP, he had, I believe, 4 winning seasons, but only 1 season of 20 or more wins, and that was this past season. So he had a 17-14 season, a 16-14 season, and a 17-8 season, which was the COVID season, or coming off of COVID. That was 17-8. But this was his first 20-plus win season. So we've talked about both the coaches, their records, and everything else. Let me go to the phones. We've got a caller who's been waiting since last hour. Happy to bring Susan back on the program. Susan, how are you? Thanks for waiting. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to ask. Well, I've got 3 things I wanted to ask you. But first of all, didn't Coach Haskins leave UTEP and then come back?
So, yes, he did, although it's a strange story because he left to go to the University of Detroit, went to the press conference, and after the press conference, had second thoughts. I guess nothing was signed at that point. Called the administration back. They said, we'll take you back. He came back, and he never left until he retired.
Okay, so there's one coach that's left and came back, even though the circumstances are different.
Correct.
He left and came back, and he won the national championship in 1966.
That's correct.
Okay, Keitha left. Now she's coming back. Now, didn't Coach Haskins sell out the Haskins Center?
On pretty much regular occasion, especially in the 80s.
Okay, and didn't Keitha also sell out the Haskins Center?
Twice.
During
the WNIT run. She sold it out for the semis and sold it out for the championship. That's correct.
Right. So there's 2 comparisons between 2, in my head, outstanding coaches. And I look forward to, I'm disappointed that Coach Baker is leaving because he only had 1 senior, Sabina's graduating, but all the rest of the ladies were supposed to be returning as far as I know. So we were already looking forward to next season. So kudos to Coach Baker. We're going to miss you and wish you the very, very best.
Susan,
because you deserve it.
I am so interested, Susan, to see how many players on this roster Keitha will be able to keep around for next season. That to me, that's a fascinating topic. It really is.
Yes, and I think having heard Keitha and met her and seen her and how she operates and how she does stuff, I hope that these ladies will give her the chance to work with them and they won't just change their minds and want to leave because this is a fabulous opportunity for them. They had some wonderful experience under Coach Baker. He took them to the NIT. These ladies have been playing together now, some of them for more than a year or two. So they have a lot of experience. They have some tournament experience, and Keitha can take that. And who knows, maybe we'll be looking at another national championship. I can tell you, we bought our season tickets. We have our little box seats out there on the floor. We've had him since Keitha was here. We've had him since Sandra Rushing was here. So we've been lady minor fans. We're men's basketball fans and football. We're minor fans. That's the bottom line. But as far as this is concerned, if the ladies win the tournament, the conference tournament, and they win, they go on to the NCAA, and they pull off a fabulous season and win that championship, I want Kevin Baker to come back and celebrate with Keitha because he deserves a lot of this stuff. That's all I have to say. Welcome home, Keitha. That's all I have to say.
I'll tell you this. I'm sure she'll be the first person to come back, Susan. And I'm happy that you're excited for Keitha returning. And the fact that you had tickets in the days of Sandra Rushing, that means you've seen the entire growth and evolution of the women's basketball program as a whole.
Yes, we have. And we've watched the teams that Wayne Thornton helped put together. We've been around basketball since 1966, watching all this stuff. I mean, I could probably tell you all the names of the NCAA championship players and everything. I mean, we're minor fans. We follow minors. We don't follow football teams. We follow the minors. Wherever they go to play, we become fans. So we have an assortment of jerseys from all kinds of teams. We follow Kayla. We just follow everybody. And we got to see those ladies play at UTEP. And I can tell you something. If you haven't seen a women's game, you need to show up, because this ladies' team is something to see. So get out there and support our minors.
Well put, Susan. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate your patience.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's keep things moving. Fernie is next. Joins us on the phone lines as we continue here. 505-6009. How you doing, Fernie?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much.
Well, anything positive. I think it's a positive move on the part of UTEP to bring her back, because she obviously brought in fans, and it's pretty difficult to bring in fans to UTEP women's basketball. Okay, so that's a positive. I'm hardcore UTEP, but I don't have season tickets for the women's basketball team. I do have for the men's and the football team. But like I said, she's a proven winner. In all fairness, too, she saw the writing on the wall in Wichita, kind of, you know, where she had to come up with something next season with pretty much to save her job. But coming back here, I mean, she's proven, and that's all we got to say.
You know, it's funny. We talked about Keitha last week on this show. Adrian and I went into a discussion with Keitha. And we were thinking about this, saying that because of her contract situation, does she even need coaching anymore? I mean, she's financially set. She's done it for probably, 25 years now, 30 years as a whole. I mean, you know, she might not even need it. So the fact that she's coming back here and wanting to come where she had all of her success and bring this program and keep this program going and put it back to that level, that really speaks volumes. I'm excited for her, you know?
I hope it's not a letdown. I mean, sort of like Tim Floyd. I mean, you know,
that's true.
It didn't really materialize with Floyd, but I hope it's not a letdown with Adams. So here's to the women's basketball team. We'll see you guys later.
Appreciate it, Fernie. Look, there's always that chance you take when you make any hire. You know, will you knock it out of the park, or will it be a letdown? You never know. You got to swing for the fences. And when you have a chance to bring in somebody that has had four postseason runs that were deep postseason runs, well, two deep WNIT runs and a couple of trips to the NCAA tournament, and it all happened over the course of a, you know, 8-year period, yeah, I would take a shot at that too. I really would. Because, you know, she's been able to do it. And it wasn't like it was a one-off. It happened multiple times. They were hanging banners. They sent players to the WNBA. One is still playing in the WNBA. And she's from right here in El Paso, in Kayla Thornton. So, you know, the great thing about Keitha is this. She knows how to win here. She knows how to recruit here. They've done it before. They can do it again. And that's, I think, the biggest takeaway I have with the news here today.
You know, another thing, Steve, that I thought Susan brought up, which was great. I thought it was an excellent phone call. What Susan brought up that is so important, to me at least, is maybe having these players on the current roster at least give her a chance, at least hear her out. And so tomorrow, I mean, I think we'll learn a lot just as far as her first initial meetings with the team.
I agree.
Trying to retain some of the key members on this team. And I think now that we've reflected on her historical prominence here at UTEP, we can also except that one of the big first task items by Keitha Adams will be re-recruiting this current team and trying to keep everybody a minor.
You're right. You're absolutely right. 15 past as we keep things moving here on the show. We're on till 6 because that's when Hags is taking over for Chihuahua's baseball. But first, let's go right now to Charlie One and get this traffic update. Back here on Sports Talk, 505-6009. That's our telephone number. 505-6009. Tweets coming in. Ed McDonald, Coach Adams, best of luck. If there's one area where I thought the ladies needed to improve, it was on finishing fast breaks at the rim. Plenty of missed opportunities. It's a good problem. What do you think about that from Minor Eddie Mac?
I agree. I think during the whole Kevin Baker tenure, there was a lot of missed bunnies, a lot of missed open layups. It was very frustrating, but that's definitely one thing they can improve on.
VIP at Tortuga EP checks in. Why Keitha leave Wichita State? Love having her back. She's a better person than the great coach she is, but I'm nosy. You know, I think here's the deal. New AD, she had 1 year left on her contract. And maybe she knew, no matter what happened next season, that they were going to go in a different direction. It's very possible. It's what happens with new directors of athletics. I mean, they want to bring in their own people. And, you know, you get somebody new, and even with a trip to the WNIT and a winning season, she might have seen that there was writing on the wall, and maybe that from a timing standpoint, it worked out for everybody.
You know, Steve, when I look at that Wichita State job, I kind of, at first, I was like, that's a much better job than UTEP. But the more you look at it, you know, they're really on par. UTEP is a really attractive job. They have some solid facilities when it comes to women's basketball. And, you know, they're coming off a winning season. And obviously, you know, the Wichita State, the new AD and stuff like that. I could definitely see it makes sense. It definitely makes sense to me.
It does for me, too. And this is from Cesar Cubillos at Ice Cubillos. Unless UTEP was going to announce the hiring of Gino Auriemma or Tara Vanderveer, this is the best news we could hope for. Welcome home, Coach Keitha. No, I'm with you on that one. And once again, I mean, you know, I am as big a Keitha Adams fan as you're going to find. I've known her since the day she arrived, did many, many, many seasons of women's basketball with Keitha, traveled with her, got to know her well, and I'm happy. She's, for me, yeah, it is personal. Absolutely. She's a friend. But I saw her as a coach, saw what she was able to do, saw the season she had, saw the transformation. I'm not saying that UTEP's going to go to the NCAA tournament and the WNIT every season, but it's in the cards with her. She did it multiple times. Two trips to the dance, two trips to the WNIT, deep runs in the WNIT. They won their first tournament game in the NCAAs. How about that? First ever trip, first win in the NCAA tournament.
I know there are some people out there, Steve, who are still saying, well, why didn't they promote from within? But you know what? Another thing that we haven't touched on when it comes to this, that doesn't happen in college sports as often as we might like to think. I mean, you can have the endorsement from the previous head coach all you want, but Keitha Adams, who probably wanted this job and may have reached out to you, I don't know what happened behind the scenes, and we'll find out tomorrow. Well, yep. I'm going to ask this, but I want to find out if she wanted this job and she pursued it proactively, which I think the answer is yes. Like, I really do. Just knowing who she is off the court, knowing how much she loves the city of El Paso, this is a perfect fit.
Here's what I think, okay? I think that when the news happened and Kevin Baker announced that he was stepping down, suddenly, there's plenty of people that still keep in touch with Keitha and plenty of people that probably are friendly with both Keitha Adams and Jim Center, and maybe the story was relayed. You know what? Give Keitha a call. You know, it's worth a conversation just to go from there. And then maybe that's how it all started. Who knows how this thing started? Who cares? She's back. That's all that matters.
Well, I can also tell you this. This administration has shown us that they are not afraid to pursue opportunities with previous head coaches at
this
place. They interviewed Doc Sadler. He was a finalist for the head coaching job on the men's side. And then now we're seeing Keitha Adams here on the women's side.
That's true. They're not afraid. And, you know, you need a hire that you can, you know, a slam dunk. Now, earlier in the show, Mike Cuviello called, said that he thought they should have brought on an assistant coach from Abilene Christian. I just, even if she's a star in the making, and Joe Golding swears. You can't bring somebody as an assistant at a small program and expect that. You know what I was looking at before this news hit? I was wondering maybe they can go and get an associate head coach from the University of Texas who just had a huge deep run into the NCAA tournament. And if you're going to bring on an assistant that's never coached at the Division I level, go in that direction. Go bring an associate head coach from a Power 5 school in the state of Texas that's winning. But you want to know something? That was before I knew Keith Adams would even be interested in this job. And if that's the case and you know that the winningest coach in the history of the program, the person that put the program on the map, wants to come back, how do you say no to that? How do you say no?
Yeah, and she still wants to coach. She still has coaching left in her. It's not like this is the end of her career either. So she still has a lot left in her and just coming off a very productive season with Wichita State. Another thing with all this right here, which is kind of interesting with me, you know, the philosophy of hiring Keith Adams and the timeline, how quickly it took. If you want to make the argument for all the coaches out there who could have been opportunities or options, I should say, Zay reeled off some great ones last week. I know Colin Deaver had mentioned some from KTSM in his article of potential candidates, and all those people are interesting, but they wouldn't have had the same relevance as Keitha does immediately. Assuming this position right here. And I'd still have a lot of question marks or uncertainties on if they hired from outside, if that person came here in El Paso, could they keep the nucleus intact? I feel confident that at least players could have a conversation with Keith Adams and at least give her the time of day from this current roster here to see if they would decide to stick around or not.
Why would you not want to sit down with the winningest head coach in the history of the program? And somebody that when you go to the facility and you see all the players that are either in the pros or had a chance to star for UTEP, you know she brought him here and she coached him. I mean, that's the ultimate opportunity to me if you're UTEP. It's a chance you got to take. Even though we don't know, we can't look into the crystal ball right now and know what's going to happen in the future. But when this presented itself, you take that shot every single time. You have to take that shot every single time.
Another thing with Keitha Adams that definitely needs to be mentioned, if she was going to make a pitch to this team, it's easy. This nucleus right here is talented enough to win a Conference USA championship, and I can be the head coach to take you to that point. It's easy. It's an easy pitch right there, in my perspective, from Keitha Adams to the current players on this roster.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Line ringing in, 27 past the hour, 505-6009. That is our telephone number as we continue here on Sports Talk. Can't wait to see her go up against Jody Adams-Birch at New Mexico State. Can't wait to see Keitha battle Rick Insel, my favorite head coach in college basketball, at Middle Tennessee. Love the fact that they're going to renew their rivalry. I mean, it's what it's all about. It's what it's all about. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited. Let me go to Dan, who joins us next. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing well. Hey, Steve, before we start, is your offer about talking a cop out of a ticket? Because I'm driving and on the phone. Is that still good?
Yes. If you get pulled over, give the officer the phone. Let me explain the situation, and I will absolutely work on trying to talk you out of that ticket. I can't guarantee it, but I will absolutely make that happen.
Okay. I have a couple of questions. First of all, did Keitha replace rushing, or was there somebody between rushing and the coach and then Keitha? I don't remember.
She replaced Sandra. So, yes, she came on board right around 2000, and she replaced Sandra Rushing. That's correct.
Oh, okay. That's fine, yeah. Because at that time, I know that Rushing was probably the longest tenured coach that UTEP have had up to the point.
That's correct.
I know that. Yeah, and also, you know, Susan was before the lady, the sweet lady. Okay, you know, she brought up Rushing. I'll bring up a name that will probably blow you away. Janet Wood.
There's another great name. That's right. Janet Wood is a terrific name. So, but Janet Wood, she coached him, I think, like in the early 80s, when she was here.
Yeah, she sure was. And you know what? She ended up coaching at a junior high before she left El Paso, and I don't know what happened to her after that. But anyway, this is my question on that. Do you really think and do you really want all of the girls, all of the young ladies to return, because, you know, I really think that Kita needs to bring a couple of people. Needs to bring another post person that could play defense. Mm-hmm. And guards, I think it's all right. But a wing person that could put it out from the outside, and then the minors will probably be very, very good.
Well, let me say this, okay? Number one, they always have done terrific coaching up foreign ball players. And when you've got somebody like Alina Rike, who's a 6'2" sophomore from Finland, there, you know what? That's building block material right there. She showed that she can star for this team in the next couple of years. And I watched enough of Iza Pierkarska and so many good post players from overseas developing UTEP under Keitha Adams. She is the perfect low post player that could really thrive in the system for the next couple of years. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, you're right. And Isabella was great. I mean, I never thought that she would. I mean, her and Erica Hughes made a great pair inside and out. I mean, I think that's the year that they went to the semifinals of the NIT. But I could be wrong. But anyway, you know, I am excited. I felt that nothing against the former coach. But, you know, now that you bring up numbers and everything, his comment that I think I left the program better than I found it, that's no way, no way. I mean, the program was pretty set. Yes, when Keitha left, I mean, it was probably her worst season. But for him to only just have one 20-game season,
yeah.
I just, you know, something happened. It was time to go. And like I said before last week, I hope the reason that he stated is true, because that's very noble, and I think that's, he's right. I mean, now the money factor will be, and we'll just have to see. We also have to be patient with Keitha. I mean, you know, she's got to bring in her own system, and hopefully the girls will buy into it.
That's a good point too. That's another truth. It's gonna be a little different than it was prior to. So
right,
yeah.
Right. Okay,
I'm
Steve,
with you.
Thanks a lot for the time.
Thanks for the call. All right, bottom of the hour as we continue from Dan back to Adrian. Let's get this Sports Center update. 30 minutes from Chihuahua's baseball. Very much. 33 now passed as we continue here on the program. The next 24 hours will be very interesting. I don't know if Keitha arrives tomorrow morning. She's already in town today. She did issue a statement on her Twitter account for Wichita State. And I'm going to read you the statement that she made earlier when she was referring to her decision to leave. Here is what she had to say. And it is interesting when you look at, you know, the comments. Here's what it says. This is actually from Wichita State Athletics. Coach Adams informed us this afternoon of her intentions to return to UTEP as head coach of its women's basketball program. We appreciate and value Coach Adams' contribution to our program and her support of the young women who have developed within it. Coach Adams and her staff have served Wichita State University well, and we wish her and her family the best in their future endeavors. I want to extend our gratitude and appreciation to our student-athletes who have committed so much to our program. Wichita State women's basketball will remain positioned to compete for championships in the American Athletics Conference. We will launch an immediate, comprehensive, and efficient national search. That was earlier today from Wichita State. So, makes it sound like, I don't want to say they were caught off guard, but it does kind of sound a little bit like this something that they weren't expecting. So, yeah, we do have some questions heading into tomorrow's press conference, don't we?
Yeah, I do think it may have been a little off guard for the Wichita coaching, I mean, the athletic staff. I mean, first off, Coach Baker announcing his resignation last week was a little bit late in the process to begin with. So anything kind of like coaching carousels, coaching hirings, all those have pretty much been wrapped up as of late March. And so to have this pour into, you know, early to mid-April is a little bit unconventional when it comes to women's basketball or just coaching searches to begin with in the offseason.
So two of the three assistant coaches at Wichita State had UTEP ties. Ava Laskowska has been with her the whole time since she arrived at UTEP. She's still with her now, Wichita State. You know Ava's coming back to El Paso. That's a given. Kelly Bagley is the former point guard known as Kelly Willingham, who also was a first graduate assistant coach, then an assistant coach at Wichita State. Point guard as well. Played for Keitha and was a terrific point guard at that. Jim Little is the third assistant, and this is interesting, Adrian. So he was named assistant coach for Wichita State in April of last season. More than 40 years coaching, 17 in Division I, joined after 11 seasons as the head coach at Oklahoma State.
That's your Todd Buchanan right there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. 6 years as associate head coach at Oklahoma State, also from Seward County Community College, where Keitha was from, and has a lot of ties. So this will be interesting, okay, to see if Keitha ends up bringing his entire staff, including Jim Little, with her back to UTEP.
You know how these things work. I mean, you usually bring along the same staff members unless there was something going on with that or contract-wise, it doesn't make sense. But it, at least to me, I think this deal was in place with the, maybe the understanding that she would bring some of, or maybe everybody from her coaching staff. And that's usually how things like this happen, maybe with the exception of one or two guys. Now, I'll say on the contrary, Joe Golding only brought along, one or two guys from Abilene Christian, but he set the precedent early on by saying, hey, he's not going to take over their entire coaching staff here to El Paso from Abilene Christian. He was going to leave behind some of the coaching staff.
Well, as for Kelly Bagley, her husband is Marcus Bagley, and if that sounds familiar, it should. He was a terrific football player at UTEP, and they got married and they have a child. So once again, you look at when Kelly was at UTEP, she was Kelly Willingham, married Marcus Bagley, became Kelly Bagley. She's been an assistant for Keitha ever since, was on the bench at UTEP, went to Wichita State, has been there the entire time. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if all three end up coming with Keitha back to UTEP, back to El Paso.
Oh, that's a really interesting tie in itself. And Zay's got another really good tie as well, he's just telling me.
All right, Zay, let's hear the nugget.
Well, current UTEP point guard Nia Boyd, she played under Little at Oklahoma State before transferring, but yeah.
That is interesting. And that could also be in part of the equation. I mean, again, there's so many things to look at with this roster and this team and the news today. And yes, I, like everybody else, will be very interested to see how many go in the portal and how many stick around. But realize this, too. The game has changed. The whole college athletics has changed. NIL and NIL plus the portal have made it a different game. Don't be surprised if when Keith arrives, the women's basketball NIL starts, if it hasn't already been discussed. It wouldn't surprise me one bit.
That's a great point, too, because like some of our callers have mentioned, she was great at promoting the program, great about filling butts in the seats. She can be great when it comes to try to organize efforts to try to make an NIL collective for the women's basketball team. They should definitely profit off their name, image, likeness from different businesses or local donors out there. And I love that idea right there. I think it should be in place no matter what.
By the way, her director of operations at Wichita State, Erica Yancey, who played at UTEP from 2005 to 2007.
Man, that's so cool. I love all the local ties. I wonder if she'll tap into anybody who lives around this area as far as former players go to maybe join the coaching staff as well.
Well, you just look at all of the different ties, and that's what it's about, relationships. So, love it. All right, when we come back, final countdown. We'll say hello to Hags, who's back from a 6-game road trip out there in Sacramento. And we'll get ready for Chihuahuas baseball 20 minutes from now, 600 ESPN El Paso.